Welcome to Ask OTC, the show where we answer all of your questions from the week in European football. I'm Dawson Adebayo.
I'm Andy Brassel.
And I'm Nikki Bandini.
Of course, this week sees the international friendlies. So an international break gives us an opportunity to look at the more long-form questions about football and give you the long-form answers as well. Like this from Dan. Do you expect another open Serie A title race, Nicky, next season? Or are we seeing the start of an inter-dynasty?
This is, I think, a question that is feeling a bit left open at the moment by uncertainty about what Inter's future looks like as a club. There's been this ongoing situation now ever since the pandemic with Stephen Zhang, the club's president, his family, who obviously involved in the Suning business in China. They took out a loan from Oak Tree Capital of about 250 million euros to cover some of the extra debts incurred from COVID. That debt has not been repaid. There's been interest accruing on it. And we're at the point where Oak Tree would like to call that debt in. There's been negotiations heavily reported on this week, reported in Italy, that essentially Zhang has gone to Oak Tree and said, what I can do for you right now is pay off the interest.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Thank you.
which adds up to about 100 million euros. And then I'd like to renegotiate for an extra couple of years on the loan. So the actual loan isn't getting paid off, but we'll cover the interest and we'll extend it. And what's being reported, at least right now, is that Oaktree basically are going to say no. And if that happens, then we might be at the point where Oaktree leverage their debt and say, we're going to take over the club.
So like, and what happened to Milan?
Exactly what happened to Milan with Elliott Capital. And that's a whole story of its own about... investigations ongoing now about whether Elliott still have some involvement at Milan, by the way. That's a whole story of its own. But certainly this is how capital operates in football and can operate in football. And it's an open question how this gets resolved, because it hasn't been resolved yet. But if Oaktree were to take over the club, the expectation is that they would be looking to do that, run the club themselves for a year or so and then look to sell. So I don't think they would be looking to uproot much in the short term, because probably they would want to sustain a winning model and have something attractive to sell on to a new buyer. But it does leave open questions about what they can do in the transfer market, what the expectations are. We've seen in the last couple of transfer windows, Inter have sold. They have been doing their best to balance the books. They have been bringing down their annual losses. They did, in just the last window, say goodbye to Andrea Nana and also players they didn't sell but just allowed to leave to get some wages off the bill, like Edin Dzeko and Lukaku.
Brozovic went as well.
Brozovic, of course. So they have been cutting costs, and I expect that the general trend will be continuing to cut costs. To address the actual then, do I think that anyone can catch them in Serie A part of things? There's not many clubs right now that are close to them. Obviously, Inter are on course for 100 points. I think if they keep hold of Simone Inzaghi, that's the big question. Then I would expect them still to be favourites going into next season. But Milan, I think, have improved as the season's gone on and are closing that gap. And then I think Juventus will be a fascinating situation to watch, whether they're going to stick with Max Allegri or move to someone else. But I think that's a club that, again, if we're talking about who has the financial potential to challenge Inter, who has some of the structure in place to challenge Inter, Juventus.
Do you think Milan stick with Pioli?
Yeah, this is the thing. They're all open questions. Mm. Pioli has gone from, in the middle of the season, it really felt like dead man walking, just get to the end of the season. Form has improved at Milan. And if they finish second, which is where they are right now, and if they win the Europa League, which is a tall order, they've got to play Roma, obviously, in the next round, it's going to be hard enough. But in theory, they are, I'd say, in the top four favourites to win that competition at least. Out of the eight remaining, then it starts to look like quite a successful season.
The interesting thing for me, if we're talking about the context of the title race next season, it feels to me that it could be enough if Inter simply stand pat. Because you've talked about the financial situation there and how they've had to keep an eye on the tiller. The squad that they've managed to create under those circumstances is extraordinary and a huge feather in the cap of Beppe Marotta. And then you look, if they keep Inzaghi, they look in a great place to me, because feasibly, not necessarily, but feasibly, all the other big clubs could change coach. You look at Roma, Lazio have just got Tudor in, of course. I mean, you know, maybe there's more pressure to stick with De Rossi because he's had a good start, but it's not in the bag yet, is it? Mm-hmm. That's for sure.
I think, again, though, Lazio changing coach would certainly... They finished second last season. Was certainly a situation to watch and see how Tudor does. But Lazio are not a team who structurally should challenge Inter.
No.
It can happen on a perfect year, but they are not close in terms of their spend, and so it shouldn't happen. So you look at the clubs that should. If we're talking about will there be a title race, Milan and Juventus are your top two. Milan have actually, and this is where they differ from Inter, Milan actually have built quite a nice young squad. Inter's squad is aging in lots of areas. They have some really key superstars, but they have had got an aging squad. If you look in parts of the pitch, certainly the defence.
Milan built for the medium term last summer, didn't they?
Yeah. So Milan, in theory, if they keep progressing, could be closer. Juventus certainly, I think, depends on what they spend and who's their manager next season, but they have the pieces to be closer than they are. And we saw it because they were close for a large part of the season. I think after that, everything's a taller order. Napoli, I expect at least one, maybe both of Osimhen and Kvaratskhelia to leave this summer. And then I think it's a long rebuild from there. Roma, yes, they're doing great right now, but are they set up to challenge for league title? It's a big ask. Do I think we'll see a more open Serie A title race than this season? Probably yes, because Inter are on course for still 100 points, which is an extraordinary number. But I think Inter, as Andy said, if Inzaghi is still the coach, they will be the favourites for certain.
This one from Mark. Do Premier League PSR restrictions, as in profit and sustainability rules, affect where Osimhen could end up? Is there a chance that he perhaps could be PSG bound?
Now, we don't really know where the Premier League clubs, the English Premier League clubs, are with PSR until we get to the summer and how much they'll be able to spend. They will be able to spend more than that they could in winter. I think the other thing that makes Osimhen possible for Premier League clubs is, and we talked about this at the time, anachronistically, the fact that he signed that new contract at Napoli. It created an out where there wasn't before. Whereas the out before was the whim of Aurelio De Laurentiis, who said, you need to put 200 million on the table before you can even speak to me about Osimhen. Whereas now there's a buyout clause that's like 60% of that. So that makes a massive difference. And that brought him into a level of affordability for probably a couple of the Premier League's elite. Now, whether that means Chelsea, whether that means Arsenal, who are clearly going to be looking for a centre forward, and that, I mean, Nicky's got no neutrality on that, so I'm not going to ask her on that. But like, you know, I think for a lot of neutrals, the idea of Osimhen at Arsenal, for example, would be incredibly exciting. But we don't know how deep the pot is for a lot of those teams. With PSG, there's definitely a possibility. They're definitely interested. They definitely need someone, as we spoke about before, to replace Kylian Mbappe, not just with elite ability, but with elite marketability. Is Osimhen quite that? Well, maybe not. But he could definitely get there, I think. There's no doubt about that. At 25, and you look at the way that undoubtedly, even when Mo Salah was still fit, even Sadio Mane's just left Europe a little while ago, Osimhen was the main attraction at the African Cup of Nations. And I don't think that PSG are insensitive to that at all. I think that's something that's really, really attractive to them. He's a great player. He's a winner. He's a big personality. And I think he is marketable. I don't think, because of the way that they're structured now, PSG, and the way that they've been moving towards a more sustainable, slightly more homegrown model. Of course, they're still in the market for superstars, but you know they're not going to go out and buy Erling Haaland. It's not going to happen. Whereas I think this is a really interest. This would be a really interesting signing for them. Now I know a lot of people will be listening to this and saying, oh yeah, but surely he's going to want the Premier League. Maybe. I think there's another level of persuasion, and it's the fact that Luis Campos, the sporting director of PSG, he's the guy who brought him to Lille as well. So that's another link that you've got to bear in mind.
I think in terms of the superstar, Jim, I almost feel like the next move will propel him there by the fact of the move. It's silly, but yeah, like the fact of the money being attached to his name, because it will be a lot of money, will almost just by default make him look more exciting to people.
This question, you might want to help me out here, Nicky. It starts off, this is from Ian. Can you provide some insight on the ownership of Bari?
Bari is a very, probably the, by far the biggest, I would say, sleeping giant in Italian football in terms of a club that has got a big stadium and a big natural fan base and has not been in Serie A for a really long time. And they are owned by the De Laurentiis family, the same De Laurentiis family who own Napoli. So it's not the first time we've seen this recently in Italy, with one family having control over several clubs. Of course, when Salernitana came up to Serie A, there was this incredibly badly handled situation where Lotito, the Lazio owner, had effectively through his family ownership over them and Lazio, and then there was a very messy forced sale of the club, and that's a similar situation to what there is now with Bari. Of course, Bari have not yet made it up to Serie A. They are getting closer. But yes, they're owned by the De Laurentiis family, same as Napoli are. And both sets of fans have their concerns about that. Of course, I think Bari fans probably are the happier of the two sets, in as much as the club has been rising under the De Laurentiis family. But there is an awareness that there is an issue that arises as soon as they get to where they're trying to get to, which is Serie A. As far as Napoli fans go, there's been a whole dedicated section of the ultras who name themselves after the major road that goes the motorway that goes between between Naples and Bari, and basically think that, well, they've been calling for De Laurentiis to get lost, which is one of those things that you hear quite a lot in Naples, surprisingly given that he is the owner who's delivered them their first title in 33 years.
How much of that goes to the fact that when they've had issues with the Stadio Diego Armando Maradona in the past, De Laurentiis has threatened to move them to Bari?
Yeah, he's used this sort of situation at Bari as an idle threat, but he's always making idle threats. De Laurentiis, if people don't love him enough or appreciate him enough, then he can get on his moped or some passing stranger's moped and go somewhere else
to get lost.
There is insecurity about it. There is insecurity in both sets of fans about, when push comes to shove, which of us is he going to choose?
Yeah.
And so both sets of fans, I think, feel a certain degree of, you prefer the other club to us.
Yeah, they're only 15th currently in Serie B, though.
Yeah, it's not been a great season for them. The general trend has been upwards, but it hasn't been a good season.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This from Momo, hopefully I pronounced that correctly. As a Villa fan, or should it be as a Villa fan, what can we expect? It's terrible, I know. What can we expect from Lille in the next round? And if we progress, Fenerbahce or Olympiakos?
Lille are a massive step up from playing
Lille.
Ajax. Thank you. They're a massive step up from playing Ajax in the last round. Now, Ajax are the name, but Lille are a proper team. They're really good. They're in the mix under their excellent coach, Paulo Fonseca, to qualify for Europe, maybe even the Champions League this season. It's a very, very tight race for the Champions League in France. They're replete with good players from front to back. You look at Leny Yoro in defence, Zegrova, who's more and more influential on the right-hand side, cutting into his left foot, and of course, Jonathan David, or Jonathan David, if you prefer, depending, of course, because he's a Canadian international, born in New York City to Haitian parents. So, you know, he is starting to really find his shooting boots in recent weeks as well, which for anyone to get within 7-8 goals of Mbappe at the top of the scoring charts in France, they've got to be doing something right. So after a slow start to this season, him finding his form is really important for them as well. And I think because Unai Emery and Paulo Fonseca occupy not entirely dissimilar spaces in the European football coaching orbit, in that for a long time, they've been looked upon and respected, but not really quite recognised as elite. And they're both trying to break through to that next level. Now, Emery's done that by winning European trophies, of course, at Sevilla and Villarreal, and the incredible job that he's done at Villa since he started. Fonseca's trying to get there. Now, he's someone who's been very close to Premier League jobs before. He was within a whisker of getting the Spurs job before. He did a pretty good job at Roma. He did an exceptionally good job at Shakhtar. And he's done a very, very good job at Lille since he's been there. He's a philosophy coach. I think if we're talking in terms of the sort of football that he wants to play, he plays slightly more attractive football, I think you would argue, than Emery. Although, obviously, Villa scored a lot of goals last year. And, you know, it felt like what he's done at Villa has been a departure from his previous work. And, of course, the best coaches should always be looking to change their outlook and leaning on the qualities of their squad rather than necessarily imposing a style. I think it's similar with Fonseca in that he has adapted his natural style, both from like the setbacks he had in his spell at Porto that didn't go particularly well, and doing what smart coaches do and leaning in to the particular playing style of a squad or of a nation, which I think he's done very well. And I think he's taken a lot from the French experience. I think it's going to be pretty tight between Villa and Lille. Lille are a very good team. So I'm fascinated to see these two games. As for the next round, Momo, for Fenerbahce or Olympiacos, I expect Fenerbahce to get through that. As we discussed in the main OTC, they're excellent this season. They've got great depth. Tadic and Edin Dzeko have both been great this season. They've got strength elsewhere. We've mentioned, because of his flair removal capabilities, Ismail Yuksuk, but he's a very, very good holding midfielder. Dominic Livakovic, another one of those who was attacked when they came off the pitch at Trabzonspor, has been a step up in goal for them. Of course, he starred for Croatia during the World Cup. And Olympiacos are just not the best Olympiacos team we've seen in recent years, even if they did manage that incredible comeback against Maccabi Tel Aviv.
Let me just say, now, you are going to have to fess up. Everybody wants to know how old we all are. When I say everybody, Chimacha, and I apologize if I spelled that or pronounced that wrongly, Chimacha wants to know who is the best European player born in the year you were born. And it will only take a quick Googling to know exactly how old we are. Well, not exactly how old we are.
I'm going to go first here, because you should never ask a lady their age.
Well, no.
I am going to say Francesco Totti is the obvious one for me. Francesco Totti,
the
greatest player in the year that I was born.
You really fancy yourself, don't you?
it's not my fault we were born in the same year.
Actually.
Because the thing is, Chimacha has said best European player in the year you were born. Mm. Now, immediately, I thought of Ronaldo Nazario, Ronaldo Phenomeno, Brazilian Ronaldo, because he was born exactly a week after me. There you go. You can Google away. But of course, he's not European. He's Brazilian, even though we associate him with European football. So it has to be Totti. I still, when we talk about him, we talk about a lot in our house, Francesco Totti. He's a big hero in our house. The fact that he played for one club at an extraordinary level from when he was 16 to when he was 40 absolutely blows my mind every time. And that's before we go into all the details of his career. But while I was looking up other players who were born in the same year as me, I came across this born in 1976, 11 on Sky Sports. It's excellent, right? This is in goal, Shea Given. Back three of Edmilson, Alessandro Nesta, Juan Pablo Sorin, Gilberto Silva is the holder. Then you have Seydorf, Totti, Michael Ballack. Up front, Patrick Kluivert, Ronaldo, and Ruud van Nistelrooy. Beat that.
Okay. Well, I can't actually. That's showing off, and I feel a little bit, you know, like we shouldn't be playing that game that Andy wants us to play.
I can't play that game. I've checked the team from 1983. There you go. I've checked the team. It's not as good as Andy's.
Yeah.
But I do think it's quite perfect that he's gone with Totti, because I was going to go with, born just a few days before me, actually, Daniele De Rossi. So two One Club players from the same club. Uniting the link there from me to Andy. De Rossi and Totti, what more could you ask for?
I could have competed with Andy if Brazilians were allowed, because a lot of Brazilians were born in my year. Yeah, you're going to get to it in a moment. Hang on, wait your time, because and one that I fancied actually was one that's got a Shakespearean name, Baltazar. Because, you know, Romeo and Juliet, there's a Baltazar there.
Yes.
I thought, oh, great. Baltazar is born in the
same year.
Two kindred
spirits.
Yeah, exactly. But then I read the European part. I'll go for the jugular on this. I was born in the same year as Juan Carlo Ancelotti. Isn't that decent?
Wow.
Yes, gosh. Exactly what I thought. I thought, I'm going to win this game. Carlo Ancelotti.
And like Ancelotti, you've changed your management style to preside over your new kingdom at OTC.
Well, Ancelotti coaching De Rossi and Totti. I like the way this is going. If we could get like the rest of the OTC contributors, we might be able to get a good five-a-side team going here.
Yeah, maybe an exclusively Roma-affiliated
one. Exactly, yeah, exactly,
yeah. You have a great coach, me. Thank you for listening to Thank you for listening. It wasn't that funny. Thank you for listening to Ask OTC. And if you would like to ask a question, you can contact us at any time at Radio Dawson, at Andy Brassel, at Nikki Bandini, or at OTC Pod. And you can email us otc@footballramble.com.
On the Continent is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.